T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Love is gentle as a rose, and love can conquer anyone. It's time to take a stand.
Lenny Kravitz is your artist of the day. Oh, thank you very much, 6790. You guys make my day. I laugh so much when I'm listening to you guys. Thank you. Very kind of you to say that. It means more than you can possibly imagine.
All right. Would you, could you...
Uh-oh.
...do what this man in Wisconsin has done? A Western Wisconsin man will share his millions in lottery winnings with a longtime friend because of a promise they made to one another nearly three decades ago. Friends Tom Cook and Joseph Feeney shook hands in 1992 and promised that if either one of them ever won the Powerball, they'd split the money. The promise came to fruition last month when Cook bought the winning ticket for a $22 million payout. When Cook called to give his friend the good news, Feeney couldn't quite believe it. He called me and said, "Are you jerking my bobber?"
"Excuse me?"
said Feeney, an avid fisherman.
Huh?
He called me and I said, quote, "Are you jerking my bobber?"
Whoa. How Feeney, close are these guys?
An avid fisherman. Cook retired after hitting the jackpot. Feeney was already retired. Neither has any extravagant plans. They will split about $16.7 million after all taxes are paid. The odds of winning the Powerball are 1 in 292 million. What does a handshake mean anymore?
During COVID-19, you better not do it.
Yep, that's right.
People used to seal deals with a handshake all the time.
Word is bond.
I think most people would agree in this day and age, you would not trust a handshake for much. And he, well, this was a 1992 handshake.
No, I know, but if you're willing to shake my hand and then jerk my bobber, I'm probably going to give you half.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep that bobber fresh.
Wasn't a handshake many, many moons ago considered a...
Sam, will you look that
up? Was it considered a legal promise?
The gentleman's agreement.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. I don't trust no gentleman's agreement, not even with my own mother.
Just be gentle.
Unless you're jerking my bobber. We'll talk.
Just be gentle, man. If you're going to jerk my bobber, you need to be gentle, man.
I'm looking this up.
The history of the handshake dates back to the 5th century BC in Greece. Mm-hmm. It was a symbol of peace, showing that neither person was carrying a weapon.
Right. That's right. Nobody had a weapon. That's where the wave came from. I don't know if you guys know this. This is a true story. Look up the wave, the hand wave. The hand wave, you would put your right hand up to wave. It shows I am unarmed.
Well, what if the gun's in your left hand?
Okay, this goes back thousands of years.
I don't believe this, but this is from LegalZoom.com.
Now, if you were left-handed, that could be a trick.
Well, According to Wikipedia, it's actually a gesture for saluting back in the 18th century.
Waving was saluting?
But what did it mean like, you know, like 1,000 years ago? I think it meant I don't have a sword. Or if I do have a sword, it's not in my hand. So I'm not about to stab you, gentle man. So don't jerk my bobber.
In an era of phone book-sized contracts, fine print, and legal battles, does the time-honored handshake deal still carry any weight? The answer is yes. I don't believe that. As long as you can prove it in court. It is interesting to note that many powerful people have engaged in handshake deals. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton. But more than likely, these handshake deals were followed by large contracts. A handshake deal is always more binding when there are witnesses.
Sure.
How is an oral contract or a handshake binding in any way?
Because you're agreeing to something.
Prove it.
I just did. I shook your hand and you saw it.
I don't remember it that way.
All right. Would you not give, like, let's say back in 1992, and you and I didn't know each other back then, but let's say we did. I think both of us were going to the University of Kansas at the time, but we didn't know each other. If you and I had been friends in journalism class and we had agreed, now I don't buy lottery tickets, but you do, but we had agreed if one of us bought a lottery ticket and it won, we would split it and we shook hands on it. 30 years later, would you renege on that deal?
You would.
I think you would.
I would?
Yes.
You still owe Willem $100.
I'm going to pay Willem the goddang $100.
I'm not saying the handshake can't be enforced. I'm saying it's very, very hard, I think, to enforce it. If it's just you and I in a room and we shake hands on something.
Yeah, but we're not talking about this guy taking the other guy to court. We're talking about would you personally honor the handshake agreement.
Over a handshake when I was 18 years old? Over a lottery ticket?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find that highly unlikely.
So you're saying you wouldn't?
Now, if I said to you today, I'm going to run down to Quick Trip. I've got $2 in my pocket. I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. And if we win tomorrow, I'll split it. Then yes. Then yes, I would split it with you.
But if we had agreed back when we were in KU together in 1992.
I don't recall.
Oh.
Sir. I have no recollection.
Do you have 14 million reasons not to recall?
All of a sudden, Dana graduated from Washburn.
Don't remember seeing you at KU, Scott.
Don't remember that agreement.
My
Are you
from Washburn.
Jerking my bobber? I feel like you are. That is now my new favorite thing to say, by the way.
Are you jerking my bobber?
You're jerking my bobber.
Did they give you a diploma, or did that not happen until after you graduated from Washburn?
It didn't happen until after I graduated Washburn. No! No! Stop it!
Got it!
Not what I said!
Got it! Telephone number here is 576-7798. What is a handshake worth? 30 years ago, these two cats said, hey, man, you keep buying, I'll keep buying. One of us wins. We split it right down the middle. Here's your handshake. Okay. Okay, buddy. This cat won $16 million. And he was true to his word. He was true to his word. 576-7798. Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
And the night got deathly quiet. And his face lost all expression. Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
We may be late, but he's still great. Kenny Rogers. You're right, you're right. Win, Scott, and you better pay Sam too, you cheater. What do I owe you, $25?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. Was Willem at the party on Saturday? I believe he was, but I didn't see him. He was the one of your four children I did not see. I will give the kid his damn money. For the love of God in
heaven. I'm not the one bringing it up.
Everybody else is. What do I owe him $100 for? What did I do?
You said, I'll give you $100 if you can name this band. And he goes, the Eagles?
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's
he killed it.
Man, that was stupid.
Oh. That was but rude. You didn't shake on it. I don't know.
No, I'm a man of my word. I'll give the kid $100. Nick in Blue Springs. Never again. Nick in Blue Springs, what up?
So I actually, about 4 years ago, built a house on a handshake and actually went to the mortgage company and went to get a mortgage, and that's when we actually had to do the contract. The mortgage agent actually put me on hold when she goes, do you have a contract? And I said, yes, we did it on a handshake. She didn't know what to say.
You built a house on a handshake?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Hmm.
And why did you have faith in the other party that it would all work out?
I had known the person for about 15 years, and it was one of those things. He's a man of his word, and your handshake is worth the contract, so that's what we did.
Wow.
What would you have done if he had somehow wiggled his way out?
Great question. So we actually broke ground the week that my daughter was born, and then I put my house up for sale about 6 weeks later. So I would have been totally, totally in a bad way if it would have not worked out. My wife probably would have killed me.
Would you sue him? Would you have sued him?
Probably would have. I mean, I don't think I would have had a choice. Other than I had no money invested in it. I mean, he pulled the construction loan and everything else. I would think that if I backed out, he'd have more grounds to sue me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, okay. So he built the house for you, and you agreed to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Huh. All right. Hey, Nick, you have a wonderful afternoon, my friend.
All right, thank you.
All right, be well, brother. Thomas in Zona Rosa. Hello, Thomas.
Hey there. About 30 years ago, Pennzoil Motor Oil Company tried to buy the assets of Getty Oil. And the powers that be shook hands and per oilfield custom, and that was a deal. The board of directors of Getty reneged and sold themselves to Texaco. It went to trial. The judge found the handshake was a valid contract, and Pennzoil won $5 billion.
Wow.
Can you check that one out, Sam? Make sure that's right. Thomas, I have no reason to doubt you, but that's an amazing story.
Yeah, well, it's the way it happens.
Man.
A handshake deal is legal bond.
According to this judge, and according to the customs of the oil field.
Wow. All right, man. Hey, do appreciate the call. Rodney in Kansas City. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, what's going on, man? Real quick, man, just got a comment on the handshake. Really don't mean that much, for real. Back in 1997, man, it was a citywide Madden tournament here in Kansas City. And me and one of my best friends, man, we were real good at that time, and couldn't nobody beat us, man. So we decided to enter this Madden tournament, and we made a pact to each other. We shook hands, said if either of us win this grand prize, which the grand prize back then was $1,000,
okay,
that we would split it. And long story short, he ended up winning. I came in third place. The guy issued $1,000 to him in cash, and he kind of reneged on his promise, man, to give me $500, man. After calling, he slipped out of the building before I could
get up with him. Ran out the back door.
Yeah. Well, he said that. I said, hey, man. We were in the parking lot, man, ready to go. I said, hey, man, do you want to give me that $500? He said, hey, man, I got you, man. I'm going to run home real quick and take care of some business. After chasing this guy around for 3 days, calling him, he brought me $40 to my house about 3 days later, man. Said he had bills to pay.
$40?
Yeah, $40 out of a $1,000 grand prize, man.
Wow.
We shook, and if I would have won it, I would have most definitely gave him $500 right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. So that's what we agreed to. But, you know.
Well, you know what, Rodney? Cool. Lesson learned. Get that in writing next time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Have a good one.
Rodney, you be well.
According to this news story, everything about the Pennzoil deal was truthful, except for the fact that they were awarded $10.5 billion.
Wow.
Not $5
billion. $10.5
billion? $10.5 billion.
On a handshake agreement.
On a handshake. But that was custom. So Texas said, hey, you shook hands and you backed out. Pay up.
Wow.
Okay.
It's a really expensive handshake.
All right. Have you heard the latest about what happened in Beirut yesterday?
Yeah, what ammonium nitrate?
I don't know. We'll get to that in just a minute.
How much and why?
A lot.
Apparently
we
don't know. A lot.
Yeah.
Did you hear 300,000 people are now homeless? 300,000 people.
The
are
spot
homeless.
Where it blew now looks like the Grand Canyon.
You can see it from space.
Yeah.
576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Beirut. Investigators began searching through the wreckage of Beirut's port today for clues to the cause of the massive explosion that ripped across the Lebanese capital, and the government ordered port officials put under house arrest amid speculation that negligence was to blame. The investigation is now focusing on how 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate.
Wait, say that number again.
2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate, a highly explosive chemical used in fertilizers. You may remember the name ammonium nitrate. Yeah. It was used in the Oklahoma City bombing, came to be stored at a facility for 6 years, and why nothing was ever done about it. International aid flights began to arrive as Lebanon's leaders struggled to deal with the shocking aftermath of yesterday's blast, which killed at least 135 people, wounded roughly 5,000, left 30,000 people, check that, 300,000 people without homes. Buildings were damaged for miles around the city.
Okay, I want to go back to the ammonium nitrate amount because I just found this story from the LA Times and it was from 2011. Timothy McVeigh used 4,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate to blow up the Murrah building. 4,000 pounds.
This was 5 million pounds.
This was 2,750 tons.
5.5 million pounds.
Wow. So Oklahoma City, 4,000 pounds. Beirut, 5.5 million
pounds. Correct. Mm-hmm. Mm. Fueling speculation that negligence was to blame for the accident, an official letter circulating online showed the head of the Customs Department had warned repeatedly over the years that the huge stockpile of ammonium nitrate stored in a hangar in the port was a danger. Ammonium nitrate is a component of fertilizer that is explosive. The 2,750-ton cargo had been stored at the port since it was confiscated from a ship in 2013. And on Tuesday, it is believed to have detonated after a fire broke out nearby.
So, quoting here from a super smart University of New South Wales chemistry guy, ammonium nitrate is relatively safe by itself, although a strong oxidant, but highly dangerous when contaminated by any kind of fuel, such as oil or organic material, even in just a few percent. In the presence of heat, such a mixture can easily lead to catastrophic outcomes. Ammonium nitrate is not flammable in and of itself. In this instance, it appears, as you mentioned, there was a fire, and the fire caused the ammonium nitrate that had been stockpiled to combust.
By the way, gang, if you have not seen this explosion,
they've slowed it down online, like frame by frame by frame. It is something else.
It looks like a miniature nuclear explosion.
So this is not the first time that ammonium nitrate, which is reasonably cheap to manufacture, has been implicated in a deadly industrial explosion. Perhaps the closest comparison in terms of scale is a blast in Texas City in 1947. A fire caused an explosion and additional fires that damaged more than 1,000 buildings and killed nearly 400 people. Again, that was in Texas City in 1947.
This one killed a minimum of 125.
I find that so hard to believe, well, by the way, Scott.
And Dana, I'm sure the number is going to go much higher. Thousands of people are missing. 5,000 people are wounded. Okay? Keep in mind, thousands of people are missing. They haven't even found them yet. 300,000 people have been left homeless. Their homes have been completely destroyed.
How do you just decide when you confiscate something like ammonium nitrate from a ship that you're just going to shove it in a building and let it sit there for 6 years?
A building next to a fireworks warehouse.
Why would you keep it there at all?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just destroy it?
An inorganic chemistry professor says poorly stored ammonium nitrate is notorious for explosions. Quoting here, this is a catastrophic regulatory failure because regulations on the storage of ammonium nitrate are typically very clear. The idea that such a quantity would have been left unattended for 6 years is an accident waiting to happen.
I'm telling you guys right now, if you have not seen this explosion, go YouTube it or go to, you know, CBSNews.com or CNN.com or whatever. It is outrageous. It literally, show me the video again in the slow-mo, because it looks like a miniature nuclear bomb.
I have to find it to bring it back up, but we can put it on our social media platforms.
It's remarkable. Now, the president yesterday, not getting political, the president yesterday said he thought it was an attack. The Pentagon has disagreed with the president today.
But when you first saw the video, I can see where you would think.
Sure,
I even said to
absolutely.
You, I go, this looks like something nuclear.
Absolute.
This is
yes.
beyond.
Yes. You'll get no argument from me.
And at the end of the day, it could just be.
Just negligence.
Absolute negligent storage mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of fertilizer.
In the slow-mo version, you can see the building next to the hangar warp. Like it literally bends
yeah.
and goes back to straight up.
Dude, I'm not laughing. It is one of the greatest, most horrific explosions. Is that the same stuff used in Oklahoma City?
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
However, as Dana pointed out, you said Timothy may
be
4,000
pounds
of ammonium nitrate.
Yes.
What blew up yesterday in Beirut was 2,750 tons, which is 5+ million pounds of ammonium nitrate. I mean, why not just walk that stuff into the desert and just drop it off?
Somebody on the text line said that's equivalent to 500 semi-trucks.
Wow.
Telephone number here is 576-7798, 576-7798. If you guys want to weigh in, we got a full board. Not really sure what we're going to talk about.
We are anti-mass explosion due to piss-poor storage of ammonium nitrate.
Well, that would be true. That would be true. 576-7798. Sam Stevie III, greatest producer of all time. Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. Jim in Topeka. Hey, Jim. Good afternoon, man.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I've been handling ANFO, the ammonium nitrate, since about 1964. I've used it on the farm for fertilizer until we couldn't get it anymore. Yeah. I've also used it in the rock quarry for drilling and blasting the rock, so I am very familiar with it and its tendencies. And ammonium nitrate is actually has to be forced to explode by a stick of dynamite with a cap in the confined area. So it is a very stable item, very stable material until you absolutely force it to explode. But as the firefighters in Kansas City rolled upon the trailer fires there and they went to put it out, when you put water on the fire, when it's on fire like that, it will cause it to explode. And it will explode very violently. It is a very expansive, sustained force to do it. And that's why it was used in the quarry to break rock, because it's not just a quick explosion. It is a sustained, large force. But had they just let the fire burn, nothing would have happened. And as if you see in that picture, you can see in the bottom right-hand corner of that fire, you can see the water being put onto the fire. And it's the water being put on the ammonium nitrate as it was on fire that caused the explosion.
Yeah, Jim, you are absolutely right. I'm reading that now. Under normal storage conditions and without very high heat, it is difficult to ignite. And this expert says, I'm assuming that there was a small explosion that instigated the reaction of the ammonium nitrate.
It would take more. A small explosion would have just set the whole thing off. You wouldn't have had the fire. One explosion would have meant the whole thing go up. It was the fire. The explosion could have been in the fireworks deal that set the other thing on fire. But once you put the water on it, that was the fatal deal, and that was the fatal thing of the firefighters in Kansas City, because nobody knew it was there.
Hang on, Jim. What does water have to do with an explosion? How does that, and I'm not questioning your expertise at all, but how does water affect the explosive power of ammonium nitrate?
It vaporizes it to a certain extent. It changes the chemical composition of it. It releases the other. You have the combustion of the vapors. It changes it chemically. And I'm not exactly sure of that, and there's other people that can speak better to that. But there's a change chemically, there's a change to it, and it has to do with fire, heat, water, the chemical change that takes place when you add water to ammonium nitrate, because ammonium nitrate melts, essentially turns into some liquid and vapor. And it is an extremely powerful explosive when that you use it and use it right.
My friend, always good to hear from you. Call in anytime you want, okay, Jim?
Take care, my friend.
Okay.
One expert says in the CBS article, we wouldn't have this modern world without explosives, and we would not feed the population we have today without ammonium nitrate fertilizer. We need it. We just need to pay good attention to what we are doing with it.
Let's go to Jacob in Independence. Jacob, hello.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana.
Hey.
Scott, the reason it looks like a small nuclear detonation is that ammonia fertilizer has about 3/4, it's 0.74% of the power of dynamite, the equivalent amount of dynamite. So if you want to do the math up real quick, that works out to about a 2-kiloton explosion, which is the size of a small tactical nuclear weapon. But we know it's not nuclear because there's no flash. We have video. There's no EMP. So it's a natural explosion, but big, just really big.
It was huge. It was huge. Did you see the video?
Oh, definitely. I've seen it. It does look nuclear, but it's because it's just so big.
All right. Jacob, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. Rob in Shawnee, looks like you might get the last word. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a video we looked at today at work. Had three different perspectives or vantage points of the explosion. And the last one on there actually cleared the sky of the clouds. You can kind of see it from the ground looking up.
I saw that it definitely blocked out the sun.
I don't remember what the link was, but it was the second or third video when you Googled it. Hmm. And just to see it clear the clouds out of the sky from that perspective was just incredible.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll look for that video, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Okay. For the love of God, Scott, stop interrupting people. Unprofessional and annoying.
I don't think you interrupt anybody.
I didn't hear myself interrupt anyone. Okay. Sorry. 35-45 jerk.
So he had said that it was a 2 kiloton explosion. Fat Man, which was the nuke dropped in World War II, the second one, was 21,000 tons. That was so a 21 kiloton explosion. So this was one-tenth the size of that nuke.
Which one? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I believe I was done speaking.
Oh, okay.
Fat Man was 10 times the size of the
Who's
explosion
Fat
in
Man?
Beirut.
Sorry.
Fat Man is the second nuke that we dropped
on Nagasaki.
Japan. Correct.
Okay. So this was a tenth of the power.
Correct.
Okay. Why'd they call it Fat Man?
Because it was bigger than Little Boy, which was the first nuke that we dropped.
Are you pulling my bobber?
Yeah, are you pulling my bobber?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Was it yanking?
Are you yanking my bobber?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Look, my grandfather fished his whole life.
I ain't never heard anybody say, pull my bobber.
I never heard him say, are you yanking my bobber?
Be like, dude, I'm getting out of the boat.
We are not that close.
Pass me another beer. I'm getting out of the boat. I ain't yanking nobody's bobber. At all. News is next with Rebecca Cross. Oh, there's that explosion. Oh, my word.
You just interrupted yourself.
He's right. It cleared the clouds out of the sky. Oh. Oh, my word. I didn't know Beirut was so big. Interesting. I'm dumb. News is next with Rebecca Crockett, Dana Wright, Scott Parks, KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.